What on earth is that? That's not worship. That's not how you praise Yahshua. You praise Yahshua with every fiber of your body. The Yahshuan Radio Network is giving you the best sermons on the internet, the best teachers on the internet, and we are breaking some stained glass windows.
Baruch haba, Hashem Adonai, blessed is He who comes. Baruch haba, Hashem.
Psalm 78, starting at verse 17. Yet they sinned still more against Him, rebelling in the wilderness against the Most High. In their hearts they tested God by demanding food that would satisfy their cravings. Yes, they spoke against God by asking, "Can God spread a table in the desert?" True, He struck the rock and water gushed out until the Vadis overflowed. But what about bread? Can He give that? Can He provide meat for His people? Therefore, when Yehovah heard, He was angry. Fire blazed up against Yaakov. His anger mounted against Israel, because they had no faith in God, no trust in His power to save. So He commanded the skies above and opened the doors of heaven. He rained down manna on them as food. He gave them grain from heaven. Mortals ate the bread of angels. He provided for them to the full. He stirred up the east wind in heaven, brought on the south wind by His power, and rained down meat on them like dust. Birds flying thick as the sand on the seashore, He let them fall in the middle of their camp all around their tents. So they ate till they were satisfied. He gave them what they craved. Still, they were still fulfilling their craving. The food was still in their mouths when the anger of God rose up against them and slaughtered their strongest men, laying low the young men of Israel. As we break down Psalm 78, we can discern that the scripture has some overall objectives. It is communicating the history of Israel that covers the period from Egypt to the establishment of David's reign in Jerusalem. The insolence of Israel is so disturbing to consider that it is appalling to think that these are our predecessors in the faith. Yet, as we ponder their disobedience, we're reminded that human attitudes and actions today are not any better. Sadly, the propensity for people to test God prevails, especially in the ranks of the religious. Humanity's innate ungratefulness permeates our thoughts. If you can simply imagine what Israel had personally witnessed as the people came out of bondage of Egypt, you have to wonder just how they could turn around in such short order, question, complain, and sin, as the text describes. They put God to the test by asking food according to their desire. According to this psalm, the more complete testimonies recorded in the Torah, this is exactly what they did. This caustic reminder of how Israel dealt with their God is quite sobering to contemplate. When you consider that after the dramatic and miraculous intervention that they were witnessing on a daily basis, whether it was seas splitting, water gushing forth from split rocks, or the constant reminder with the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, that the Holy One was in their midst, they still had a proclivity to test God. What does this mean for those of us removed some 3,300 years later? Do we ever test God? Do we ever find ourselves not accomplishing His will? If you look at a few of the times in the Tanakh when the Hebrew verb nasa, or to test, is used, you may see something that really bears witness to one's role as parenthood. The majority of the 36 times that Nasa is seen is in relation to God testing His people. The first usage of Nasa is when Abraham is given the greatest test of his life concerning the sacrifice of his son Isaac. Now it came about after these things that God tested Nasa, Abraham, and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Genesis 22:1-2. Here, Abraham is commanded to offer up Isaac on Mount Moriah, something that definitely foreshadows Yeshua being offered up for us. Next, we see the Lord testing Israel at the bitter waters of Marah, where He offers up a proposition for receiving healing for obedience to Him. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it in the waters, and the waters became sweet. There He made for them a statute and a regulation, and there He tested them, Nasa. And He said, If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His commands, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. Exodus 15:25-26. The pattern of God testing His people continues to repeat itself when the gift of manna is used by God to see if His people will be obedient to His commands. Then the Lord said to Moshe, Behold, I will rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people will go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test, or nasa, them, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Exodus 16:4. We also see Nasa used when Israel tests God. Therefore the people quarreled with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moshe said to them, Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, Why now have you brought us up from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So Moshe cried out to the Lord, saying, What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me. Then the Lord said to Moshe, Pass before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moshe did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He named the place Massah and Meribah, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel, and because they tested the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim. So Moshe said to Yehoshua, Choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself at the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Yehoshua did as Moses told him, and fought against Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about that when Moshe held his hand up, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But when Moses' hands were heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moshe built an altar and named it, "The Lord is my banner." And he said, "The Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war against Amalek from generation to generation." Exodus 17:2-16. At this point in the wilderness journey, Moshe innately knew that it was not appropriate for Israel to test God. Even though the Holy One took care of Israel's immediate needs through the provision of water by Moshe striking the rock at Horeb, he was not pleased with the quarrelsome and demanding nature of those testing him. He was not delighted with the ungrateful attitude expressed by his people. As a consequence, it is understandable that within short order of this testing, the Amalekites are released to chastise Israel. Were it not for the mercy of the Almighty and some of the additional actions of Moses, Aaron, Hur, and Joshua's military leadership, the punishment could have been far greater. Are you beginning to see a pattern emerge? If you are a parent, perhaps you will be able to identify with what is happening. Have you ever had a child test you? Do you remember how you first felt when you realized what he or she was doing? You were probably perplexed with the test, but because you love your child, you might have sloughed it off as an aberration and simply handled the request, demand, or test with taking care of the need. But do you remember how you reacted when the child put you to the test the next time? This time you had the previous experience to rely on, and perhaps you did not react to the second test as rapidly as the first. In fact, if you discerned that the child had previously manipulated you in order to get his way, you might have reacted to the test with some conditions. If you begin to think through all of the testing that you might have received, or on the flip side, some of the testing you might have put your own parents through during your lifetime, you might begin to see how God responds to our actions very much like a loving parent. In time, if the child continues in his abrasive and demanding ways, the parent may decide that it's best for the long-term health, maturity, and benefit of the child to be corrected for his obstinate behavior. Only through the trials of life do some decide to stop testing their parents. We are often reminded in life experiences of our inclination to test God. Instead, we must humble ourselves and give thanks and praise to Him for all that He has done to us. Today, we're reminded how our simple desire for obedience is a blessing to Him. He sees our desires to please Him, and just as a loving parent who over time has seen how the results of loving instruction create a grateful heart within a child, our Father reacts the same way. It blesses me to know that He is smiling down on us with every desire to pour out even more gifts from above. Ivareka Yehovah Vayishmereka, Yeer Yehovah Penafaleka Vikuneka, Yisa Yehovah Penafaleka Viyasemleka Shalom. May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make His face shine on you and show you His favor. May Yehovah lift His face toward you and give you peace.